There is no way to overstate the change that came to the world when baby Jesus was born. Before his birth, humanity had no relief that was permanent or consistent from the weight and the burden of the sin they had committed. The closest they got to any relief from the guilt of their sin was once a year they would come to the temple and bring an animal, and they would trust in the blood of an animal that was sacrificed on an altar to temporarily cover their sin. The blood of an animal could not forgive their sin, but it would cover their sin. The blood of the animals could not cleanse their sin permanently, but only cover their sin temporarily. All of that changed when the Son of God was born. He was the perfect sacrifice. God in the flesh, who was sinless and qualified because of no sin, to shed his blood that would satisfy the sin debt of every person that would ever be born. We celebrate the birth of a child 2,000 years ago that changed not only the way we worship, and today, right now today, more than 1 billion Christians are gathered in churches just like this one all over the world to celebrate the day he was born. I want to talk to you about the music of Christmas for just a few minutes. I am a lover of music, all kinds. For those of you who know me and those of you who attend here, then you know I like all kinds of music. I like jazz, especially at Christmas. I like some hip-hop and some R&B. Sometimes if you listen to the music I listen to, you would think I'm a black man. I like a little bit of country and a little bit of rock and roll. I like all genres of music, but there's something about the music of Christmas that is special. At this time of year, radio stations all over the world that usually play rock and roll about sex and drugs and parties and all of that, stop that music and play Christmas music with some of the most powerful lyrics that you will read anywhere. So this morning, for just a few minutes, I want to highlight 5 Christmas carols and one line, one lyric from each of these 5 that stand out as worthy of celebration on Christmas Sunday. There is that song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." And in that song is a lyric that says, "Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light." It had been prophesied in Old Testament scriptures that the Son of God would be born an heir of the throne of David, an heir and a seed of Abraham, that he would be born from the tribe of Judah, and specifically the little town of Bethlehem. It's just a village or a hamlet just a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, which is the capital of the world for centuries now. And that quaint village, Bethlehem, that nobody thought anything could ever come from, captured the attention of the world with the birth of a baby. And it was during dark days, and the writer of this Christmas song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," when he said, "Yet in thy dark streets," speaking of Bethlehem, "in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light." In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, it speaks of this moment when it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And even though the world was in deep darkness, the birth of this baby started a light that would grow and cover the globe, and even now, 2,000 years later, is shining a light in what would otherwise be darkness. And then there's the Christmas carol that we all know. In fact, we've just sung this one, "O Come All Ye Faithful." One of the most powerful lyrics in any Christmas song is found in this Christmas carol. We've had it on our marquee all week. It simply says, "Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing." That is the Christmas story. The Word of God in John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing to the world. And then there's that Christmas carol, "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." Isn't it interesting that all of these songs I'm calling out, all of the Christmas music, even though we only sing it once a year, when I speak the title, "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen," automatically our minds not only recall the words, but the melody and the music. We don't forget. From one year to the next, we lose no time at all in recalling the music and the lyrics of these Christmas songs. But in "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen," listen to the power of this lyric. "To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray." That's what the birth of the baby did. He saved us all from demonic power, the hell that was our reward without a Savior. Isaiah the prophet said, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And God has laid on him," speaking of Christ, "the iniquity of us all." Jesus was born to save us all from Satan's power, because all of us had gone astray. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son." And then there's that Christmas carol that's probably one of your favorites. We began our service with it, "Joy to the World." And one of the most powerful lyrics in any Christmas song is in that song, "Joy to the World." It says, "He comes to make His blessings flow as far as the curse is found." Before this baby was born and died for our sins to be forgiven, we were all under a curse. It was a byproduct of the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. When they committed the first sin, then all of us that were born thereafter were born under a curse, the curse of the Adamic nature. We all need to be delivered from that. And the words in "Joy to the World" said, "as far as the curse is found," which was on every man or woman ever born after Adam and Eve. Jesus came to make His blessings flow. Now, I know what it is to be under a curse, and I know what it is to be under the blessing. The blessing is by far better. It would not have been possible had it not been for the birth of the Christ child. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us in Christ Jesus." Now, I know it's Sunday morning and I'm making noise up here. And it's Sunday morning with a structured Christmas service, but when you hear the news, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing might come upon us," you ought to be happy about it. Just a little happy, I'm saying. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. There is no curse that cannot be reversed by the blessing that falls on humanity in the birth of the Christ child. None at all. If you think you're under a curse that cannot be broken, meet Jesus. He became a curse so that blessing could come to us and the curse could be removed. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. And then finally, the last Christmas carol I'll mention today, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I love this lyric in a Christmas carol. God and sinners reconciled. The power of those four words. It's the story of Christmas reduced to four powerful words. God and sinners reconciled. See, you don't forget. It's been a year, but you don't forget the music that comes with these lyrics. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what that means to us today is before Christ was born, there was no fellowship between man and God. That ended with Adam and Eve and the sin. And so as soon as sin hit the planet through that one act by Adam and Eve, darkness and a curse fell on humanity because fellowship with God was broken. God was a holy God and now man was a sinful man. And centuries would come and go without any intimacy between God and man. God never gave up on his creation. The Old Testament is filled with many attempts, God offering a covenant, saying to man, I want to be your God still, and if you'll just do this little bit, if you will just do this small amount, I will still be your God, and you can still be my people. But every covenant failed because man had too much to do with it. God still wanted to reconcile himself with his creation. So finally, God said, I'm going to make one more covenant. This will be an everlasting covenant. This will be an eternal covenant. This will be a fail-proof covenant. I will never make another covenant, God said. This one will work because man will have nothing to do with this covenant. God said, I will do everything. The only thing man will have to do is believe on my son. God said, I will send my son to the world and he will do everything to establish this covenant to reconcile holy God and sinful man. And God said, all man will have to do in this covenant is believe on my son. And God said, I will give every man and woman that's ever born enough faith to do that. And that's why we're here today, because Jesus came to the world so that God and sinners could get back together and be reconciled forever. So those are five Christmas carols you have sung or you will sing or you have heard on your satellite radio already this Christmas season. And from now throughout the end of Christmas, when you hear these Christmas carols, listen to the power in the lyrics that are anointed and inspired. Speaking of Bethlehem, yet in your dark streets shines an everlasting light. And, O come all ye faithful, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. From God rest ye merry gentlemen, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. From joy to the world you will hear, he comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. And then from Hark the Herald Angels sing, God and sinners reconciled. Would you welcome back to the stage as they lead us in silent night?